The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If you just take three steps back, the fact that they're putting people in prison, men in their 70s, you and Navarro, but others, lots of others, people in prison for defying them politically. I mean, that is not the country that we grew up in. Do you ever sort of wonder where you are?
I think, like you, I've seen this coming for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to work with Andrew Breitbart when you started Daily Caller, Andrew started Breitbart. I think at the time we had an inkling when Obama said fundamentally transform the United States. I think we had an inkling with Holder and these guys, but it took really President Trump as kind of the a someone to people that could rally around to understand that the managed decline of our country was more than just happy, you know, more than just a campaign slogan. It's real. And I think that's, you know, I keep saying Trump's win in 16 was providential because I was there. We had a man, we had a mission, we had a plane, we had a message. We didn't have much. We didn't have a lot of money and not a lot of organization. And we kind of, that was divine providence we won. But I tell people it's also divine providence. It's providential that we lost in 20 that was stolen. And the reason was, you know, up until then, you kind of thought Democrats and they had different ideas on taxes. They had different ideas maybe on certain social programs or education programs. But it's not true. They are literally a neo-Marxist revolutionary group that wants to fundamentally change this country. And now that they have the power of big tech, the lords of easy money, Hollywood, the universities, both high culture and low culture, and the political apparatus, they're going to destroy the American Republic that we grew up with. And this is a war. It is a war. And you know, I'm going to go in for a while as a prisoner of war.
That's Steve Bannon, of course, in his online interview with Tucker Carlson just yesterday. And I think it's interesting, again, when you think of tomorrow's news today, I went through this article last week on the show from Wayne Root. He says he's been screaming about Obama's transformation of America for the past 3 years. Bannon says there he saw this coming at least a couple years ago, that maybe we got a hint of it when Obama was out there saying fundamentally transform America. But now, I mean, you do have to agree with Bannon there that Donald Trump has exposed so much. God's used him to expose this attack on the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Those of you that watch the video stream for the past couple of days, we've had a new intro that we've gone with, just some high spots or highlights from this show over the last year or so. And it's good to see how many people are enjoying those few minutes, that montage that the guys put together ahead of the live presentation of this show. Lots and lots to get to on today's program. The word for the day, the word for the month, the word for the year, really, retribution, or sometimes the meltdown, they'll use the word revenge. It all sounds so sinister. Donald Trump coming back into office to seek revenge on his enemies. And of course, Bannon is there to say it's not about revenge. It's about accountability. It's about holding the radical left to the same standard that they're holding so many Trump supporters to. I mean, if you add, there have been hundreds and hundreds of Republicans or Trump supporters targeted by the communist lawfare. If you add the January 6th protesters to the mix, I mean, it really and truly is thousands of people that have been persecuted, that have been sent off to jail, that have lost their law license. There's this post or this website that talks about just how aggressively Democrats have targeted over 400, count them, 400 Republican lawyers, politicians, and the like with criminal charges, civil lawsuits, as I say, in some cases like Bannon and Navarro. I mean, they're headed off to prison. Navarro's already there. Bannon could be there on July 1st. They want to put Donald Trump in prison. His sentencing is July 11th. In Georgia, 19 Republicans have been arrested and charged for, I guess, the RICO case contesting the election from 2020. You can do that if you're a Democrat in 2016, but not so if you're a Republican. Bannon over and over again says these people, they play Smash Mouth. And the only language they'll understand is if you smash them in the mouth in return. And this is why there's a meltdown every day at Morning Joe. Because they know what they've done. Andy McCabe's talking about leaving the country. I mean, that's the former deputy director of the FBI. They know about all the illegal activity they've gotten away with. They know, as President Trump rightly pointed out, that getting Hunter on a gun charge, one that's not in any way associated with the big guy, they know that we know it's a distraction. All of these crimes, selling foreign policy favors for millions and millions of dollars. Think of the crimes that the Biden crime family has gotten away with. And what do they they do it reluctantly, by the way, because they wanted to get Hunter off on a sweetheart plea deal a year ago. And a judge blew up that plan. So now they had to reluctantly go forward. And they've got Hunter on the gun charge, on the lying. But he's got his big guy in the Oval Office who can let him off, who can commute the sentence or maybe give a full pardon. We'll see what happens. I think there's more and more people saying there's no way he's ever going to go off and see some hard time in prison. But just coming back to the ones who've been targeted, 18 Republicans arrested and charged in Arizona. So some of these household names like Bannon and Trump, some of them not household names, but they're still being targeted. I mean, this is a mass campaign of intimidation. They're trying to terrorize the opposition, which makes the meltdowns especially rich. In Nevada, 6 Republicans arrested and charged. Did I say Michigan? 16 in Michigan? You can add just recently 3 more to the list from Wisconsin. They're all over the country. Christina Abob, I think is her name. She's one of the ones they've gone after in Arizona. An attorney representing the former president, Donald Trump. You might remember before Tucker Carlson left Fox News. This was soon after the fake president was installed in 2021. And he had a show, I think, early in 2022 where he just went right down the list of all of these people that were being arrested and charged. All of these Trump supporters. This guy named Douglas Mackey, January 27th, 2021. Just right after the fake president comes in and they go after Mackey. Guess what he did? He made a cartoon that criticized Hillary Clinton. He made fun of Hillary Clinton. And the Dear Leaders, DOJ, went after him. They've virtually bankrupted and destroyed Rudy Giuliani's career. This is America's most famous mayor. George Dixon, a Giuliani associate, he had his home raided. Think of the pre-dawn raids that these Marxist revolutionaries have unleashed on their political opponents. A journalist at InfoWars, he just recently got out of prison. I think he was in there for 4 or 5 months. InfoWars, by the way, Alex Jones's outfit, he's had to liquidate all of his assets, his media empire, because of that insane case regarding Sandy Hook. $1.5 billion in damages, if you can believe it. It's kind of like the half a billion in damages that they tried to lay on Donald Trump with the first Manhattan court case. They're trying to destroy these people. Journalists working for Project Veritas. Tucker pointed this out in that show a couple years back. The FBI raiding the home of Sharona Bishop. She's the former campaign manager for Congresswoman Boebert from Colorado. And then the Mesa, speaking of Colorado, the Mesa County Republican clerk, Tina Peters. She's a Republican clerk. She had some issues with the 2020 election. And so they go after her as well for just raising questions about the legitimacy of 2020. Listen again to Steve Bannon as he discusses with Tucker the accountability that's coming November 5th, and then when President Trump is inaugurated. This is clip two.
This is the least. They want to put Trump in prison for hundreds of years. They want to destroy one of the greatest Americans in our country, Rudy Giuliani. I mean, bankrupt him, destroy him. They're playing Smash Mouth. The Republicans don't even conceive of that. That's why in this Trump movement, when we start talking about Judgment Day is 5 November and Accountability Day is after President Trump takes his hand off the King James Bible at high noon on the 20th of January, 2025. McCabe's on TV every other night. McComey's on TV all the time. This is so terrible. We're having conversations. We may have to leave the country. Well, hey, leave the country, but we have extradition treaties with everybody, and the long arm of American justice is going to get you and fetch you back here. Because one thing I can tell you, with President Trump's second term, there is going to be accountability, not retribution, not revenge. He's got the border to shut down, mass deportations. He's got to stop these endless wars, particularly in the Ukraine. He's got to stop this the madness of the spending and how we finance this government, which is out of control and caused inflation. But one of the most important things he has to do is deconstruct the administrative state. And part of that is literally crushing the new Praetorian Guard, which is the deep state. President Trump will do this. And I think we'll have a group of people around him that are going to be maniacally focused on to do it. But until that time, this is a war, and a lot more people are going to go to prison. A lot more people are going to prison than Steve Bannon.
And then you listen to the tyrants, you listen to the regime, and they're sweating a little bit. You can he mentioned there McCabe, who I guess a week or 2 weeks ago talked about some of the conversations he has with his former colleagues at the FBI and what they might have to do if Donald Trump returns to the White House. They might have to leave the country. This is, again, the deputy director. Listen to McCabe. I think this was with CNN, clip four.
When you see him promising this wholesale takeover of the Justice Department, I wonder how you worry about what that would look like.
Yeah, Caitlin, I mean, I worry a lot about it. And I think it's, you know, when you think about these things and you try to predict how Donald Trump is going to react or the steps he's going to take, you really don't have to go any further than listening to the things he says and does. I mean, his comments recently are offensive and horrendous, but they're not surprising in any way. He's been saying this for quite some time. I will be your retribution. He runs the risk of really dismantling and greatly incapacitating the Department of Justice and the FBI. And that is something that Americans on both sides of the political aisle should be worried about.
Yeah.
We depend on those institutions to protect us.
What do you think it's...
And he is proposing to tear
them down. What do people inside the FBI think when they hear a comment like that?
It's terrifying. It's frightening. I have a lot of conversations with former colleagues, people who are or were in the intelligence and law enforcement community and may have worked in, you know, the Obama administration, other places. And, you know, people are really trying to assess, like, what is life going to be like if Donald Trump wins a second term? And on a very personal level, I mean, these are torturous discussions with their family members about whether or not they have to leave the country.
As I say, it's especially rich when these people, he went after Donald Trump. He targeted Trump and then lied about it under oath after the fact. and had to resign in shame, or maybe he was fired, I forget. But this, what he's sounding the alarm over here, even as they go after hundreds of Republican politicians, lawyers, election, officials all over the country. Listen to the Morning Meltdown people as they melt down at the thought of Trump retribution. Clip 3.
My reporting, and I know yours too, from inside the Trump campaign is he's angrier than ever. He's not listening to anybody when it comes to pushing back on revenge. He's fired up and he's ready to go when it comes to seeking revenge to anybody who's opposed him in the past.
Yeah, and I'm told there's a similar dynamic behind closed doors when he meets with advisors or other Republicans, where he'll talk about revenge, sometimes get a look like, well, do you really mean that? And he makes it clear he does. This is retribution. That's the word that has been the center of this Trump campaign for a year now. And that has only been heightened with his anger about this criminal conviction. He and his team are putting together an actual agenda of revenge. This is just going to be his rhetoric, which was sometimes what happened in 2020. Trump would spout something off, but his administration would be unable, or frankly, at times, unwilling to follow through. But there are not going to be grown-ups in the room this time. They're not going to be guardrails. Yeah. It is just going to be true believers and loyalists. And if Trump says he wants revenge, if Trump says, I want to target a particular person or institution, they're going to do just that.
Again, you can hear this kind of commentary every single day. But it still is shocking to hear Americans speaking of just the other political party in this way. You read between the lines, and these are people that are worried and concerned that they're going to be held to the same stand. Okay, you want to get Steve Bannon for defying a congressional subpoena from an illegitimate committee. Tucker, when he was talking to Bannon, he went through the events of 2012 when a congressional committee subpoenaed records or information from Obama's White House over the Fast and Furious scandal. And the attorney general at the time, Eric Holder, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He defied the congressional subpoena over those records, over that information. And they hid behind the presidential authority, the fact that you've got executive privilege. Steve Bannon did all those things, and the subpoena was coming from a group, a committee, where every single one of them hated Trump, were out to get Trump, because Pelosi just kicked the other ones off. Bannon's right. It's probably going to go right up to the Supreme Court. We'll see if he has to go to prison in the meantime. But the Supreme Court, you would think, is going to weigh in on this and say, no, for Pelosi to do what she did, it's unprecedented. And then to issue this subpoena, and Bannon says, look, we've got executive privilege too on this side, just like Obama and Holder, right? Not so. Not so the way that Obama has weaponized the deep state. The reason McCabe is terrified is because he can't imagine living in an America, in the United States, where the deep state isn't controlled by the Marxist revolutionaries. He just can't wrap his mind around that. So the terrifying discussions he's had with his colleagues and former colleagues is that we may have to move out of the country. Richard's morning brief regarding the Hunter Biden conviction. We touched on this yesterday in the show. Guilty of those three charges. But it says here, the jury applied the law and wasn't intimidated by the celebrities in the gallery. It's also no coincidence that this is one of Hunter's crimes that does not directly implicate his father. And so it's one massive distraction. It's meant to shield the big guy, to protect the father, the head of the crime family, selling off foreign policy favors to China, to Ukraine, to Russia, to Russia. That's right. Look at these. For all of their bluster about Putin and the threat that Russia poses, Russia's sending warships to Cuba right now. And you'd never know it. Listening to the regime, listening to the regime media. I mean, they're coming right up to America's shores. All the alarms they've been sounding. So much of it's just fakery and phoniness. It's all politically motivated. All of it. Who's really in bed with Putin to just allow these sorts of things to line their pockets from Putin and the CCP? There was one journalist in the regime that basically said the fact that Hunter received millions from Burisma or from Ukraine, that's a conspiracy theory. A conspiracy theory? The receipts have already been revealed. He was making like 60, 70, 80,000 per month. Knew nothing about that company or energy in the Ukraine. And yet he's just receiving money hand over fist. And you still have talking heads saying, that's not true. That never happened. So they're there. And their take on the gun charges is that, see, the rule of law applies equally. Hunter got convicted, therefore Donald Trump got convicted and should have gotten convicted. Or the other hot take, this one was humorous to me this morning. You look at Trump in the courtroom, and he was angry, and he was surrounded by the surrogates, and he didn't get any support from Melania or the family. That's a lie. But then Biden, Jill Biden was shuttling back from France even, so that she could be there in the courtroom with her son, her beloved son. And then the big hug from the big guy yesterday. What a contrast this shows us about these two families. With the Biden family, you see there's righteousness, there's love, and you listen to the tone of the way the regime reports on the conviction of Hunter Biden. It's they're part depressed and they're part impressed because he has such a loving family. And oh, by the way, Hunter just ran into a little bit of trouble that we all do. Yeah, we all get addicted to cocaine. And then we all lie on a form for a gun. And then we all purchase a firearm. I'll play the montage here in a second. How many people must surely be guilty of the same exact crime that Hunter's guilty of? Probably 20 million. Oh, okay, so it's just everywhere. But Trump! Nobody's gotten away with what Trump has gotten away with. They say this even as they go after hundreds, thousands of Trump supporters. This is tyranny. And the tyrants are terrified at the thought of being ruled by what they consider to be tyranny. Isn't that interesting? What a time in American history. The one crime that doesn't directly implicate his father. So they get Hunter, finally. Joe Biden marked the, and remember, Joe Biden, or rather the dear leader's DOJ, they did everything possible to try to let Hunter off scot-free, even on the gun charge, even for lying on the government form. And as I said, you had one federal judge that blew up that plan to let him off scot-free. So Biden will have to intervene here and make sure he doesn't go off to prison. This is the regime yesterday as they reported on the news of these three convictions. Clip 10.
The jury has found Hunter Biden, the president's son, guilty on all three counts in this case after 3 hours of deliberation. This is the first time that the child of a sitting president has faced a criminal prosecution. And over the past 7 days, he has enjoyed enormous support from his family, including his stepmother, the First Lady of the United States, who has been here for many days during this trial. Other family members, friends of the family, clergy members. He has had dozens of people here showing support for him.
Joe Biden had the power to stop this if he chose to. If he chose to pervert the rule of law, he could have done that, but he chose not to do that.
Personally, it's very hard. I mean, the Biden family is incredibly close. They're very close-knit. They lean on each other. For him, obviously, this is very hard. It's hard to watch your son grapple with the kinds of demons that Hunter Biden has been dealing with. It's hard to watch somebody in your family who you love deal with addiction and all of the awful things that can flow from that. So this is hard.
The president's son, Hunter Biden, not being treated the same as everyone else, in many ways being treated worse. This crime that he's convicted of, rarely prosecuted. Again, the reason that Hunter Biden is being prosecuted is because he's the son of the president.
Guilty. How many people do we think have committed unlawful drug use while filling out a gun application?
Well, I mean,
probably 20 million. Well, if you look at the number of gun owners and the number of people who smoke pot, 20 million people, and very few get prosecuted, almost all of whom who do have less material advantages than Hunter Biden does. We shouldn't be prosecuting people who smoke
pot. Who break the law?
This is me, and yeah. Granted, this is a weird libertarian thing to say, but I think that
I would expect nothing less.
If the victim is the government,
yeah.
And you smoke pot and you filled out an application, you can get punished, but not go to jail.
The pot part I understand. The gun part, I take very seriously.
Is this the lack of sort of decency on the Republican side here? Because you have, in the case of Hunter Biden, somebody who's obviously had deep troubles. He comes from a background that's full of tragedy, and yet here's his family surrounding him with love. I can't even imagine Donald Trump saying that about any of his children, his family. That is actually loving your kid. And I don't understand why Republicans don't even have compassion for that.
And the fact that people are treating Hunter like this, I think, really speaks to what the far right is doing.
I really think that if you look at this case, what is the big picture here? It's not a drug addict who possessed a gun for 2 weeks. It is that you have a president of the United States who is living embodiment of the rule of law.
That last guy there, that's Andrew Weissman. That's Bob Mueller's pit bull. For 3 years, he went after Trump with ferocity, with rage. He hates Trump. Get Trump. Listen to them all, blinded by their rage, as they talk about the love in the Biden family and, I guess, the hate in the Trump family. You know, another way to look at this case is that Hunter Biden, I mean, the evidence is all there on his laptop. And the deep state lied about it. And the deep state should be held to account for lying about it, for interfering in 2020, for blotting out, censoring that message. That's what they did for months. Well, for a year and a half. It took a year and a half for the New York Times to finally come out and say, yeah, it's actually Hunter's. You know, that was revealed in this Hunter trial. That was one of the biggest revelations of the Hunter trial over the past week. The fact that an FBI agent in the midst of the trial admitted that, yeah, it's actually Hunter's laptop. Well, where was that in 2020? Where was that Bill Barr? He was over the FBI at the time. This is unbelievable. The level of corruption. But just think of it for a moment. Hunter and the Biden crime family, they are so corrupt that even in the littlest or smallest of charges, it takes a unanimous rule, a jury of 12 of their peers. It took them 3 hours to say, yeah, this is pretty clear cut. He lied and then he got a firearm. And his own text messages say that he was addicted to crack cocaine. He was smoking it every 20 minutes that he was awake. And now, because it's small potatoes, the Biden crime family is just hoping that everything else will go away. That Jim Comer and company won't be looking into any more of the transactions, the pay-to-play schemes, the tax evasion. Last I heard, the dear leader wanted to beef up the IRS so that he could get more money. But not from the Bidens. No, just from ordinary Americans, Midwesterners, you know, ones that that maybe could pay a few hundred more on their taxes every year. Tax evasion. so much crime and the money going into, and the investigations into the Biden crime family, they were obstructed from within the deep state, every step of the way. They couldn't dig into some of those transactions that went straight to the big guy. Listen to Jesse Waters from last night as he talks about the so-called love in the Biden crime family. Clip 12.
Hunter's committed more crimes than we can count, and all Biden says is he's proud. The reason Hunter's broken the law for 30 years and not paid the piper is because of his dad. If every time I screwed up and my dad's response was, "I'm proud, son, I love you," I'd keep screwing up. Bailing somebody out over and over again doesn't mean you love them. Hunter was kicked out of the Navy for cocaine on an administrative discharge instead of a dishonorable one because his dad greased the brass. Hunter got caught with cocaine at the Jersey Shore way back in the 80s, and the senator's son had his record expunged. When he left his crack pipe in a rental car, police investigated and dropped the charges. When he put 20 grand on his dad's Amex for Russian escorts, the Secret Service cleaned it up. When he lost his laptop, the FBI and CIA covered it up. When he owed millions in back taxes, his sugar brother footed the bill. When he needed money for alimony and child support, daddy's donors bought his dopey art. His dad's own Justice Department tried to make the gun and tax case go away a year ago today. What makes you think daddy won't save him again?
Of course daddy's going to save him again. This is a man who's been saved by his loving family. Oh, and by saved, I mean never held to account. No wonder they're shaking in their boots. No wonder Andy McCabe's having conversations with people suggesting that, yeah, we might should move out of the country. No wonder Morning Joe is out there saying, if Trump comes back, he's going to execute me. You heard the clip yesterday, Cohen, saying that people are going to be thrown out of buildings if Trump returns. You read between the lines and you see they have reason to be scared because their corruption's being exposed. And you've got people like Bannon and Kash Patel who are saying there's going to be an accounting here. Politico says this: Biden insists he's not involved in his family's business dealings, but his aides are a different story. Well, at least Politico is still going there. But could you imagine? They're trying to get Trump on a clerical error on how he kept his business records from 10, 12 years ago. And here the family business, and Biden's just able to say, because the regime media will run with it and say, look, I've never seen a family that shows so much love. And look, everyone's addicted to some kind of drug. So, and look at how many Americans buy firearms. So really, Hunter's just doing what 20 million other Americans have done. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. We've heard that before, haven't we? Yeah, it happens all the time. Imagine if this was about the Trump family. Well, Trump's distancing himself from his crackhead son and the shady business dealings he had, but now Trump's inner circle, you know, they may be a little more connected than we thought at first. For years, Joe Biden shared a bookkeeper with his son, Hunter. He also shared a personal lawyer with his brother, Jim. And when Jim Biden wanted to know more about one of Hunter's business associates, he hired the former head of Joe Biden's Secret Service detail to investigate. Since 2019, Joe Biden has repeatedly distanced himself from his family's business dealings, saying that he has never so much as discussed them with his relatives or with anyone else. He says that, but the receipts have proven otherwise. He lies. He knows all about it. He certainly benefited from it all financially. There were 9 Biden family members on the take, receiving hundreds of thousands, gifts, Porsches, millions in the end. It says House impeachment inquiry interviews, public records, and emails reviewed by Politico shows that members of his inner circle were regularly enmeshed in those dealings. Many of the president's closest staffers and advisors have doubled as his relatives' business associates, both during and after their stints working for the man at the center of the Biden family orbit. It's right there in Politico. Does this happen all the time? Listen to one more clip from Jesse last night, clip 13.
Biden's going to have to save his son to save his own hide. Remember the taxes and the gun? Only a fraction of the crimes Hunter and Joe Biden would be guilty of if prosecutors were allowed to follow the facts. Whistleblowers have testified that investigators were blocked at every turn from following leads that led to Joe. The CIA and FBI and the Treasury Departments are all in on the cover-up. A strong case could be made for Trump prosecutors to investigate money laundering, racketeering, bribery, foreign lobbying conspiracies. Donald Trump calls the gun case a distraction. Quote, the trial has been nothing more than a distraction from the real crimes of the Biden crime family, which has raked in tens of millions of dollars from China, Russia, and Ukraine. Crooked Joe Biden's reign over the Biden family criminal empire is all coming to an end on November 5th. And never again will a Biden sell government access for personal profit.
He's completely right. Here again, Donald Trump dropping a few truth bombs on the regime media. The Treasury Department, Jesse's right. The FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, and the Treasury Department, too. They know all about the crimes. They're part of the cover-up. They know these financial transactions are coming in from the CCP. How about if you started to do that with members of the CC, the Communist Party in China? And what if you worked for the government? And there were just, you sent out something, and then millions came back in. Do you think the federal government has the resources to figure out, listen, what's going on here? What's going out? And then what are they paying for in return? They know all about it. And they've covered it up. And now they get Hunter. Finally, they get Hunter for the crack addiction and for illegally purchasing a gun. And then you got, how's this for a pretty good sense of humor from God's perspective? Joe Biden gave a scheduled speech yesterday about gun safety, gun control, even as his son, just an hour or two earlier, is convicted for a gun crime. You can't make this up. I don't have time to play all the clips. Listen to this one, though, from MSNBC going on and on about just how special, how wonderful, how righteous, how loving the Biden family is. Clip 8.
There's something about President Joe Biden's stoicism at a moment when one of the two parties in America is engaged in a fully frontal war against the rule of law. The other has sort of stoically supported and embraced and wrapped both arms around the rule of law and his son at the same time. I'm not sure it's a moment with a parallel in American presidential history.
Yeah, and what a contrast. First and foremost, I think I need to state the obvious, and that is that Joe and Jill Biden have been role models for parents of addicted children.
She's right that there is a contrast between these two families. But how are you going to try to help someone with that kind of thick blindness? Blindness has set in, to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul has said. I mean, the darkness that so many of these people are living in, it's thick darkness for sure. They cannot see anything. They're blinded by their deceived hearts and their unhinged rage. This Politico piece says, those overlaps reflect an all-in-the-family approach to business and politicking that dates back a half century to Biden's first Senate bid. They've been getting away with these crimes for a half century. Pay-to-play schemes. And it's made them filthy rich. And here are these talking heads saying that they're upholding the rule of law. They've shredded it. That's why Biden feels like, hey, it doesn't matter if I'm a senator or a vice president. I'll just take whatever documents I want, even if they're classified. I'll put them up on Biden properties all over the country. And never, ever will I be held to account. He's not. In fact, when they looked into it, they investigated it, remember, and then concluded that, well, he'd be seen as senile in a courtroom. So we're not going to press charges on the documents that Biden stole. But then, like President Trump says, he's not competent enough to handle a courtroom setting. But just, yeah, put him right out there to lead the United States of America. Here he is from the last couple of days, clip 11.
They're all ghosts in new garments trying to take us back. Well, there are. Taking away your freedoms, making it harder for black people to vote or have your vote counted. Closing doors of opportunity, attacking the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you can believe it, banning books about black experience in America. Trying to erase and rewrite history. Risk their lives in every war since the founding of our ideals. We don't know fully what American soil is. Equality and freedom. She knew so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured. Instead of trying to stop our ban on ghost gun kits that contain these, that can commit crimes, they're working like to stop it. You can't be pro-law enforcement and say you are pro-law enforcement and be pro-abolishing the AFT. Who in God's name needs a magazine which can hold 200 shells? I've attended too many mass shootings. I've gone to too many schools across America. And by the way, if they want to think there's to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle. Folks, look, this is crazy what we're talking about. Because whether we're Democrats or Republicans, we want our families to. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, I don't want to take your gun. You're allowed to have a gun, but I want to take away your ability to use an assault weapon. And it, well, no, here, this is how the conversation went. He said, what do you mean I need that gun? I said, guess what? If you need 12 to 100 bullets in a gun, in a magazine, you're the lousiest shot I've ever heard. I was no longer the vice president. I became a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Before that, I taught a constitutional law class, and so I taught the Second Amendment. There's never been a time that says you can own anything you want. Never. You couldn't own a cannon during the Civil War. No, I'm serious. Think about it. How many times have you heard this phrase? The blood of liberty. Wash it, though. Give me a break.
Yes, you saw it right. That's the fake president stepping in front of a banner saying Gun Sense University on the day that his son, the smartest man he's ever known, was convicted for 2 gun charges and then lying on a federal form. As I say, you can't make this up. As to the last bit from that speech, I liked what Richard Palmer put in the Trumpet Brief this morning, that Biden marked the occasion with a speech on gun control with quite a lot of false statements. Many, he has said before, others such as his statement that it was illegal to own a cannon during the Civil War were new, at least to me. Owning a cannon was and still is perfectly legal. You see, you learn something new in the Trumpet Brief. They go out every morning, every evening. And you can be sure we're going to be looking at what we can do, the resources that we can pool, we meaning the Trumpet Daily staff, to purchase a cannon for the campus. Maybe not. My father might not think too highly of that. But we'll see. Never hurts to ask. On a serious note, I touched on this earlier. It's from ABC. It says, Russia warships conducted drills in the Atlantic, the military said Tuesday, as they were headed to visit Cuba, part of Moscow's efforts to project power amid the tensions with the West over Ukraine. Russian warships just pushing right up to the shores of America. How is this not a bigger story? is this not plastered all over the news cycle? Well, you've heard a bit from what concerns them, from what consumes their segments. Even as their readership declines, as I covered with you yesterday, even as people tune it out, you hear it. As I say, what kind of person would sit there and listen to 1 or 2 hours of Morning Joe and not go crazy? No unbiased reporting whatsoever. Again, just thick darkness, blindness that has set in. The Russian Defense Ministry said that the Admiral Gorshkov frigate, the Kazan nuclear-powered submarine, conducted the exercise that was intended to simulate a missile strike on a group of enemy ships. The ministry said the drills involved computer simulation of an attack on sea targets more than 600 kilometers over away. It says the Admiral Gorshkov is armed with new Zircon hypersonic missiles. The weapon has been designed to arm Russian cruisers, frigates, and submarines, and could be used against both enemy ships and ground targets. Russian President Vladimir Putin has touted Zircon as a potent weapon capable of penetrating any existing anti-missile defenses by flying 9 times faster than the speed of sound at a range of more than 1,000 kilometers. I guess this too happens every day, huh? Happens all the time. One wonders if this would be going on if the bad orange man was the current occupant there at the White House. Russian warships, submarines, nuclear arm. Here is Vladimir Putin. I mean, he's doing a bit of saber rattling. And I guess that's not really a big deal. I guess in this case, the Russian boogeyman, it's of no concern. Just move on to what Trump might do if he were to return to the presidency. When we come back, I'm in the same predicament I was in yesterday. With just a few minutes remaining, when we come back, we'll figure out how to conclude today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
In 1994, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury asked, "Is Iraq about to fall to Iran?" It was a bold statement at the time, but over the next 20 years, this forecast became reality. Today, Iran is the undisputed king in the Middle East. In the early 1990s, we identified Iran as the prophesied king of the south. In the book of Daniel, it says this king of the south will push against the king of the north. These prophecies are being fulfilled before our eyes. To learn more about these incredible prophecies, request your free copy of The King of the South. This booklet examines the history and current events of the Middle East under the light of Bible prophecy. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
So I say as an American with great sadness that the greatest exporter of toxic ideas today, except for perhaps the Chinese Communist Party, which does it far more subtly through TikTok and other ways, is the United States. It's incredibly sad for me to say, because I've really had a lifelong love affair with my country.
One of the few remaining commentators to actually sound the alarm over the sickness within our own nations, the family breakdown. Your Bible in 2 Timothy 3 and other passages prophesies that in these last days, children will be disobedient to parents. There'd be not even any natural affection between family members. An upside down family, if you read through Isaiah 3. And of course, it's made worse by the full frontal assault on family coming from the anti-family, the anti-God Marxist left radicals They hate the family. They hate the traditional family. Listen to a bit more from Dennis Prager, clip 7.
The left destroys everything it touches. That has been true since the French Revolution and especially since the Russian Revolution. Whatever it touches, race relations, we have the most depressed, according to, even the left acknowledges this. It's the most depressed generation of young American women since we had begun measuring depression among, or mental health among young people in the United States. That's a direct result of what the left has done with ludicrous and destructive feminist ideas like you don't need a man to be happy. You don't need to marry. You don't need to have children. You need to have a career. As if 2% of humanity is happy solely thanks to a career without marriage and family. Another study just came out that the happiest women are those who have a husband and family. Now, that doesn't mean every woman who has one is happy or that every single woman is unhappy, but we're talking about the trends.
Yes, and the trends are not good. They are not. They're going in the wrong direction, have been for decades. This is from the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks back. It says the world is at a startling demographic milestone. Sometime soon, the global fertility rate will drop below the point needed to keep population constant. It may have already happened. For the title here, suddenly there aren't enough babies and the world is alarmed. I think I might have touched on a few of these points previously. But here, you know, women, as Prager points out there, they're being told you don't need a man, you don't need to marry, you don't need babies, you don't need family. What happens to a society when there's a complete and total breakdown of the family institution? Herbert Armstrong used to talk about how that the family was like the bedrock foundation of any strong, stable society. You can see that in The Missing Dimension in Sex or in Mystery of the Ages, either of those books. Both of them. Get them at our website if you don't have them, thetrumpet.com. If you call our operators, we'll send out free copies of both books right away. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Further on, with respect to America here, it says, in the U.S., a short-lived pandemic baby boomlet has reversed. The total fertility rate fell to 1.62 last year, according to provisional government figures, the lowest on record, even here in America, where we've got so much space. Of course, the economy's falling apart. That can factor into some of this, I suppose. But for a lot of people, there's just not an interest or a desire to build a family, even when studies say, you know what, if you do that, you're going to be happier. And of course, you know, you understand why that is. Because God made these institutions. And in the scriptures, it talks about how much of a blessing a virtuous woman is for a strong male leader, and how much of a blessing children are around the table. God created this institution, marriage and family. And if God's at the center, not only will you be happier, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed for living according to God's holy laws. So many of those laws and statutes and judgments, you can look at it for yourself in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and we'll study through the first five books of the Bible and see for yourself just how many of those laws of God are meant to preserve and to protect and to strengthen marriage and family. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. and we'll see you tomorrow.